Romans 15, 1 through 9. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name."
Amen. Amen. You know, my studying this week, I came across some websites and some posts about people's bad church experiences. I mean, it's actually a thing out there where people will go and they'll say, "This is what happened when I went to church and why I've never returned." And it really brought into clearer focus why the American church continues to decline in their attendance numbers. Because there were stories about judgments for wearing the wrong clothes. There were judgments made on the ethnicity of people. There were judgments made on the socioeconomic status of people and whether they were going to be able to tithe to the church at all. And there were judgments made on one's worthiness to receive communion. There were even judgments made on the uncleanliness and the unkept look of some, even to the point of asking someone to leave the service because they smelt bad. Isn't the church called to be the image of Christ? Aren't we called to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Because I can't imagine Jesus treating others the way these people were treated. And as I read these stories, verse 7 of our text tonight, it just kept running and running through my mind. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Have we forgotten where we were when Jesus found us? Did we forget how bad we smelt standing before a holy God before Jesus stepped in for us? Isaiah used the term filthy rags. And to put that term into perspective for us, you know, the Hebrew word that Isaiah used for filthy here was Eda. And Eda is the term used for the rags that women used in menstruation. Yeah, that sounds gross, but take it up with Isaiah. He used the word. But that is how we stand before God, before Jesus steps in. And so we say it again, accept one another as Jesus accepts you. Have you forgotten how God accepted you? Despite our messy lives, despite our impure motives, despite our really bad attitudes, God accepted us in our filth. Paul's prayer is a call for unity. Unity among people. And he says to be unified, we must remember what the Lord has done for us. We were among the broken. We were among the lost. We were among the rejected. But Jesus came. Amen. And he changed it all. You know, there was a debate, a famous debate, back in the 3rd century that had been written out. It was a debate between a pagan, whose name was Celsus, and a Christian whose name was Origen. And the conversation went something like this. Celsus declared, "When most teachers go forth to preach and to teach, they cry, 'Come to me, you who are clean, and you who are worthy.' And they're followed by the highest caliber of people available. But your silly master, Jesus," he says, "he cries, 'Come to me, you who are down and beaten by life.' And so he just accumulates around him the ragtag of society." And so the Christian Origen, this is how he replies. He says, "Yeah, they are the ragtag of humanity. But Jesus doesn't leave them there. Out of the material that you would throw away as useless, Jesus takes them and he fashions men and women, giving back their self-respect, enabling them to stand on their feet and look God in the eye. They were hopeless, they were lost, and they were broken, but Jesus set them free." And it's these hopeless, lost, and broken people, you and me, that God has chosen to use to build his church. Amen. But we often bring those old habits of our old life into the church. You know, Jesus came to tear down walls. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. No longer slave or free, male or female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. In letter to the Ephesians, the message of up again. In Ephesians 4, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope. Amen. For the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, amen, one God, one Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Amen. See, Jesus came to tear down walls. But we have an enemy, and he likes to build them. Satan likes to cause division in nations, in communities, in families, and especially in churches. And you know how he causes division? He hones in on one of the greatest of human weaknesses, comparing ourselves to others. He takes our efforts to compare ourselves to other people, and he turns it into prejudices, and he turns it into judgments. Because we're insecure human beings. And so we feel the need to put others down to build ourselves up and make ourselves feel better. We'll say, "Well, you don't look like me. You don't think like me. You don't act like me." Pastor Debbie gave a whole message on the politics and how that affects us. That's a perfect example of how Satan uses that to divide us. You don't think like me. You don't have the same opinion as me. You're not acting like me. And Satan takes it. And he twists our thoughts to say, "Well, because you don't look like me, And because you don't act like me or think like me, then you must not be as holy as me. And you're not acceptable to me. Because you're just too different. That's what Satan does. That's how he causes division among us. And when we see people as being too different, we create in us versus them. And the end result of us versus them is rejection. There's no other result. Because them is never seen as worthy. Them isn't viewed as worth our time or our charity. So Paul is calling us to remember how God accepted us with all our faults, with all our annoyances, with all our idiosyncrasies, so that we can accept others. See, Jesus met us right where we were in our messes. Yes. So how can we do any less? I'm sure most of you have heard of Gandhi. Yes. Walked around India promoting peace. But did you know that he rejected Christianity because Christians rejected him? He had heard about Jesus. And he liked what he had heard about Jesus. And so he went to church one Sunday. But he didn't look like they looked. And he didn't act like they looked, the way they acted. He didn't talk the way they talked. And so when he entered the church, they went up to him. And they told him, maybe you'd be more comfortable at the church down the street where they look like you and they act like you. And he said, if this is how Christians treat other people, then I might as well stay a Hindu, because they treat me the same way. He was quoted as saying, I like your Jesus, but not your Christians. Imagine if that church had treated him like they should have. If they'd accepted him as God had accepted them. With the understanding that he too was made in the image of God and worthy of love and hope and grace, as were they. Imagine the impact that he would have had in India if they had treated him as Christ calls us to treat one another. How can we say that we're Christians and represent Jesus, and then refuse to behave like him? Right. All through the New Testament, we see Jesus welcome and accept people into his family. He welcomes the homeless. He welcomes the prostitutes and the drug addicts. He welcomes the beggars, the thieves, the homosexuals, and he welcomes you and me. There is no us versus them. In the kingdom, there's only we and us. Jesus invites everyone to belong. And you belong. I belong. And whoever you are through Jesus, you are invited to belong. And when we welcome and accept one another as Jesus has welcomed us, that's when we show Jesus to the world. If we don't show beauty in the way we treat others, then in the eyes of the world, we're destroying the very faith that we proclaim as truth, which is exactly what Gandhi experienced. That's how we become hypocrites. One commentary said it this way: you can tell how much you understand the gospel. You can tell how much you have grabbed that gift of grace by how much you love people. Despite their flaws, despite their mess, despite their deficiencies, the way that we treat The way that we love people is a direct connection to our grasp and understanding of the gospel. Amen. Do we say to ourselves, well, if God overlooks my sin through Jesus, how can I fail to do so with that person over there? Because if I can't see past their outward appearance, do I think I'm more righteous than God himself? That's how it appears. Paul reminds us, accept each other as Christ has accepted you. You know, the Greek word for accept is proslambano. And you know, it really means to take someone in as a companion, to receive kindly as a friend. Amen. It means to take someone by the hand and walk with them, treating them with kindness the whole way. What a beautiful illustration of what Jesus has done for us. So how do we do it? Because let's be honest, loving people is hard. But Paul gives us the how in the same prayer. In verse 5, he says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. The answer is Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. Keep Jesus at the center. Accepting one another as Christ accepted us can only happen when we live our lives following Jesus and keeping him at the very center. That's right. Because with Jesus, there's beauty. With Jesus, there's harmony. With Jesus, there's peace and there's hope. Amen. There's life and there's victory. With Jesus, things change. And with Jesus at the center, God always gets the glory. Yes. See, as we follow in the ways of Jesus, Paul gives us another reminder. Remember, Jesus came as a servant. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul tells us what it looks like. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Have the same attitude that Jesus did. Now listen to the way the Message translation says all these words. It's absolutely incredible. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other and love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Amen. There were two things that stood out to me in this text. Be deep-spirited friends. Yes. And forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Amen. That's the very definition of accept that Paul just used in our Romans 15 verse. To take as a companion. To receive kindly as a friend. Take someone by the hand and walk with them, showing kindness along the way. Amen. That's being deep-spirited friends. That's forgetting yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. That's Christ-centered unity, and it brings glory to God. Amen. You see, God is glorified as Christians from different backgrounds learn to love one another and accept each other despite their flaws, despite their differences. We live in a world that's filled with a lot of hate and a lot of pain. There are a lot of broken hearts out there, a lot of fractured lives. In a truly united church where people are accepted and loved for who they are, that's irresistible and attractive for those out there. But it's also easier to just talk about unity than actually do it. We're all pretty good at just liking people, especially if they're like us. But there are a lot of people that aren't like us. Yes. And they aren't very easy to like either. Yes. And I guarantee everyone in here is unlikable to somebody out there. We all are. Right? But this matters. This is so important. And I need you to really hear this. Because here at Sawgrass, we are blessed to have a body of believers that keep Jesus at the center, that accept others because of how Jesus has accepted them. We hear your stories in our small groups throughout the week. We hear how God is sending people to you that need to be accepted right where they're at. Amen. People that need to know there's a God who loves them with a limitless love. Amen. And we hear how you respond to them and how you treat them with acceptance and love. And you need to know how beautiful that is and how much you're glorifying God. Amen. You know, just today, we had some cabinets delivered to our house, and the delivery guy came, and the boxes were very heavy and huge, and Jay had gone out to help him, and after they had finished, Jay came running back in. He said, "You're not going to believe this. This is so cool." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, as I was helping him, you know, finish up and close up his truck, I asked if there was anything I could do for him. Did he need a drink or anything? He said, "Oh, no, sir, I'm okay." And Jay said, "Well, I'm a pastor. Would it be okay if I prayed for you?" And the man said, "You would pray with me?" And Jay said, "Of course I'll pray with you." He said, "Yeah, I'd like that." Amen. And so Jay prayed with him right there in our driveway. Amen. And the delivery driver, as they finished, he said, "You made my day." Amen. That is accepting people right where they are at. That is loving people right where Jesus has put them in our path. Each of you are being obedient to God's call to minister to and accept those that he puts in your path. He has invited each of us into a sacred trust of loving others. Amen. And showing grace and mercy in his name. And that is a gift. It's loving in ways that matter. Amen. But there's another reason it matters. You know, as your pastoral team, we are diligent and we are intentional in our prayers and in our journaling. And I want to read something that the Lord shared with me a few weeks ago. I was preparing music a couple of weeks ago, and I was going through some songs, and I was listening to one particular video, and I just broke down in tears during this video. And I could hear God saying, "I have something to say to you. I need you to pull out your journal. Just sit down and listen." Amen. And I have tears streaming down my face. I pull out my journal. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm listening." I said, "I hear you saying, Lord, are you ready?" And my answer, Lord, is, "I want to be. I want to be ready. Amen. But I don't know if I'll ever be ready." I said, "Lord, what do I need to be ready for? What does ready even look like?" And this is what he said. He said, "Being ready starts with yes. And being ready looks like being obedient. And being ready looks like courageously loving others." Amen. who are broken and who are lost and who are forgotten. And I said, okay, Lord, but what are we getting ready for? And he said, I am sending the broken to you. But as you receive them, others will not respond kindly. There will be opposition to the love and the kindness that you pour into others in my name.
Amen.
You will need to remember who you are. And you will need to remember whose you are. And you will need to remember whose mission you are following. And I finished up my prayer time just praying for strength and praying for protection. Are you ready? He asked. You will need to remember who you are. You will need to remember whose you are and whose mission you are following. You know, that sounds like a unified church to me. A church that remembers who they are in Christ and how they've been accepted by Christ so that they can go out and accept others. See, the command of Jesus was to love God with all your mind, all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus came to seek the lost. He came to heal the broken and bring hope to the hopeless. And he is inviting every one of us into that mission. In fact, he entrusts that mission to us in our community. It's about sacred trust. And because we have been obedient to the things that he has given us to do, he's now saying, are you ready for the ones I want to send you? Because I have more broken. I have more lost. I have more hurting people to send you. Are you ready? That's what those shirts are about. Those shirts are about the mission that God has for us. This is at the very deep soul of our pastoral team. He has told us, you have got to prepare for this mission because it's not going to be an easy one. Because the people that you are called to love, the world doesn't want to love them. And so there will be opposition for your love in my name. So are you ready? Because there are hurting people, there are broken people that need to know me. When I was diagnosed with brain cancer 15 years ago, I was in the MRI, scared to death, not knowing what was happening. And I just remember praying and praying and praying and praying. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. What's going on? And he said to me, as I laid in that machine, scared to death, he said to me, what you're about to go through is because there are people that don't know me. And I was just, in that moment, I was thinking, oh, yeah, my parents and my family. And about 5 years ago, God said to me again, he said, you remember those words that I said to you in that MRI? I said, yeah, Lord, that there were people that needed to know you. And he said, yes, and that's what I'm preparing you for. Because there are people, you know, I was looking at it in my little box. And God said, no, my plan is so much bigger than that. And I am sending you people, and that includes each of you that are sitting here tonight. I am sending you people for the people I'm going to send.
Amen.
Are you ready? And I believe that we are. I believe that with Jesus at the center of our body, we are so ready. Because we want to serve him and we want him to get the glory.
Yes.
And that's what it's about. Heavenly Father, Lord, the burden is heavy. The trust that you've put on us to be your body, to be your hands and feet. Lord, we shout yes from the mountaintop. And as we shout yes, we're ready. We know that without you, it's impossible. Lord, we pray that we keep our eyes on you. We pray that we keep you at the center. That we always remember who we are in you. That we remember whose we are in the kingdom. And we remember whose mission we're accomplishing. Because, Lord, this is not our church. We may say my church, Lord, but it's not. It's yours. We want to serve you faithfully, Lord. We want to be your hands and feet. We want to share your grace and mercy with others. And I know you've already started to do it, Lord. We've seen you just send the people in their individual lives, Lord. Lord, and we thank you for trusting us. May we glorify you in all we do and all we say. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.